Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, one of the things that we've chosen as a theme scripture over the years with our involvement in missions is Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 23 and 24. But in the latter part of verse 24, there was a big dispute over those who had gone to into a battle, and there was a dispute over the bounty of what they had gathered up, you know, the things that they had taken in, and there was this kind of dispute over that, and some of the guys said, well, they didn't go to battle with us, they weren't there with us, they stayed back here with the supplies, with the stuff, so, you know, they're not going to share in the bounty of it. But David said, but as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So the wonderful thing about all of this, that, and I think it's just so great that we get to have people kind of come and go that are involved in missions and travel all over as a body here. We get to partner with them through prayer and resources and things, and we get to interact with them and find out. And we're a part, just like they said, you know, we got to be a part of that church that got birthed there in Nigeria. And so it's just great that, you know, I commend you guys for your prayers and all this, because it really, in the end, when we get to the other side, the great thing is you and I are going to be a part of the blessing of all of that, not just now, but into eternity. We will share in the bounty and the blessing of all that. So it's really exciting. That's a good scripture to keep in mind. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 23 and 24. Those are kind of theme scriptures that we use for our missions endeavors. John's Gospel, chapter 5 this morning. Boy, I've looked forward, really looked forward to this little portion of Scripture, about 15 verses this morning. We're not going to spend any more time. We're just going to do 15 verses and just kind of think through it. Some of you may be visiting, you're thinking, oh my gosh, 15 verses. We usually just read a verse and then they talk about some Fat Albert or something and then the service is over. That's not what we do here. Usually we can really cover a lot of ground sometimes, but just 15 verses this morning. We're going to keep it kind of to the point. You remember as Jesus has gone back into heading toward Jerusalem ultimately. He's gone through Galilee, and we kind of talked about the interaction that he had with the nobleman's son there. And then in verse 1 of chapter 5, we pick it up as Jesus is there at a feast. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. So these porches are, you know, more like covered, you know, patio type areas, like is what it would be like a lanai type setup, or, you know, like lattice work setup where they just kind of sit at the edge of this large pool area. Bethesda, place of mercy, or house of mercy. Interesting. That's what they were there for. There's all these people gathered around this area. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. So if you think you're having a bad day today, you don't feel too well today, 38 years. Some of you struggle with pain issues, and some of you struggle with health issues, and you've struggled with them for many, many years. But 38 years is a long time, isn't it, to struggle with an infirmity. Some of us, I mean, for me, if I don't feel well one day, I'm whining and carrying on. So, you know, it's quite a deal, this guy that's there. Now, verses 1 through 5, there's a lot to talk about, but as we break into this, the focus shifts to this one guy that's got the 38 years of infirmity. What's interesting is this one guy's kind of on the peripheral edge of all of this other mass of people. Now, there's a whole mass of people that are suffering with infirmities. I think it's kind of interesting when you look at the picture, if you would, of our world today. Our world today, a mass of people suffering with infirmity. And really, the infirmity we know is just, it's sin. Without help, blind, got blindness, lame, paralyzed, immobilized, waiting for the moving of the water, waiting for someone or something to bring help, some kind of assistance, some kind of relief, some kind of help. Man, I look at this and I think there's so much here as Jesus goes up, and all of these people there are in need of help. Everyone there is in need of help, but somehow Jesus kind of focuses in on this one peripheral person out in the backdrop. Let's look at this setup here as kind of what goes on in this situation. Well, one, this statement that they're waiting by this pool, you know, this small body of water, and there's these five porches out around it, and there's just a large multitude of people that are there. So we've kind of got a good picture of this, but this pool that it describes, and it's this particular word that's used there, it's not used frequently. It's a specific word. It's a word that means not only is the stirring of the water, this pool, but this pool has this bubbling up that happens just infrequently, every so often. It's kind of an artesian, but it's not flowing all the time. It's a spring that just from time to time, and something would bubble up out of it. So it's a word that's used to describe this exact scenario. So when they talk about this angel that would come down and stir the waters, it is very possible that this was a saying in their time, tradition would have it, this kind of statement that was made that the water would be stirred and that this bubbling up that would happen was caused by an angel that would stir the waters. Whether in fact there was an angel that stirred the waters is somewhat not the point. The point was it was something infrequent. We're clear on how it happens because there was just almost like an artesian type thing, but it would just build up pressure and then and it would release and just kind of bubble up through there from time to time. And when it bubbled up, there was the water got stirred in verse 4, then whoever stepped in first, after this bubbling up would happen, this stirring of the water would go on, was made well of whatever disease he had. Kind of interesting, that thought of whoever gets in first. Isn't that kind of the way our world works? Whoever's first. You know, the focus is being first. You know, then you're a winner. You know, everybody's in need. Everybody's struggling, but who's going to be the winner? And what does it mean to be a winner? I think it's interesting how Jesus takes this one person that's basically marginalized. He's just out on the peripheral edge of all of this. He doesn't have much hope of getting in on his own at all. He's in desperate need, just like everybody else, of help, just like every other person. What is the likelihood that he's going to be first? You know, for a lot of us, it might be the same thing. What's the likelihood? Everything's geared around this being a winner or being first or being the best at. And the focus kind of goes into all of those kind of things and that kind of thinking. And that's really not what it's about when it comes to the Lord. And I think Jesus makes that point really clear here as we kind of start getting into Jesus' dialogue with him. So when Jesus saw him in verse 6, lying there, and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" I love the questions and answers of the Bible. You go all back to at the very beginning with Adam. After Adam and Eve, they sin in the garden. God comes walking in the cool of the day. "Adam, where are you? Adam, what have you done?" They're pretty direct questions. But Adam skirts all these things and says all kinds of other stuff. I love the reality of that, because isn't that just like us? Look at this is a direct question from Jesus to this man who's out on the peripheral edge. "Do you want to be made well?" Now, really, that is a yes or no question, isn't it? Now, if he's sitting there, I think in his mind, he's probably figuring, well, it's kind of obvious, dude. I'm hanging out around the pool here. I'm waiting for the water. You know, for him, it seems pretty obvious what he's doing. But still, it's a yes or no. Think of our interaction with the Lord. Think of the reality when it comes down to salvation itself. Society is in a very grim state overall, globally. We have a serious condition, don't we? It's sin. We have a sin nature, and there's only one way to be healed from this. And the question that God asks our world today, "Do you want to be made well?" It's really a yes or no. This guy's very clear about his condition, don't you believe? 38 years, he sees people that are healthy, he knows he's not, he's pretty clear on his circumstances. The question still is asked of him, off on the peripheral edge. What is his response? The sick man answers him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred." As soon as the water gets stirred up, he says, "I have nobody to take me and get me into the water. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. I just can't be a winner. I just don't have perfect complexion. I have issues. I'm just not right. I can't, it's that kind of thing. I can't get it right. I'm not perfect. I can't get there when I'm supposed to. While I'm getting there, someone kind of cuts in line. Just before I'm about to get maybe some victory, somebody cuts in front of me. And I can't quite get there." Man, Jesus knows exactly who he's talking to, doesn't he? Finds this peripheral guy that he's without hope. He can't get in there. We'll go back to some of these. There's some things in here that we want to talk about. And Jesus' response to him is, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." That's what Jesus tells him. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Couple of things to think about that is, one, Jesus' word, just his word alone, is power to perform the will. Whatever he has said, there is power behind it to do it. We really need to embrace that. Whatever the Lord says to you from his word, he's got the power and ability to perform it. Oh my, what we could grasp, what we could apprehend, what we could lay hold of in our lives if we would embrace that and know that. The word that he speaks works his will. He spoke the world into being, calling that which is not into being that which is. It's nothing for God to speak the world even into being. So how big is my problem? How big is my issue, my struggle? How big is your struggle today? Well, you just don't understand. My problem, my situation is much larger than just speaking the world into being. Probably not. God can do it. And what a truth. His word is powerful. Very, very powerful. His word has the ability to perform with it. Now, Jesus' interaction with this guy, this is the marginalized guy sitting on the peripheral edge of life, can't get there first. He's not a winner. One, Jesus kind of removes all of that from the whole picture. You see, with Christianity, it's not about winners and losers. Isn't that great to know it's about God's grace? And Jesus just displays that today, right here in front of us. It's not about being winners and losers. We have one superhero in our story, and it's just Jesus Christ. No other superheroes, just the Lord. Jesus asks him in verse 8 to do the absolute impossible, that which he cannot do. You see, you and I can't save ourselves. He asks us to step out by faith. What seems impossible, that it could even have been done for us, was done for us on the cross, that our sins could be forgiven. He asked you and I to just step out by faith, do the impossible, trust me. Just by faith, just trust me. What he has no ability to do, God asks him to do, but God empowers him to do it. His word is the power to perform. He asks him to do something that in the natural seems absolutely impossible. And then I like the second thing that Jesus, because he says rise, and that's just, this guy can't move. What is this, some kind of sadistic joke? Think about that. Think about if you're that guy. What are you making fun of me, dude? I would have had all kinds of things rolling around in my head. But Jesus, just rise. It's absolutely impossible in and of himself for that to happen. But God does the impossible. He makes possible the impossible. And then there's a little comma after rise. And he says, take up your bed and walk. Pick it up. And take it with you and move on. There is absolutely no provision in this situation for any type of failure. But what if I might need my mat here later? What if this doesn't work? You think, well, gosh, I'm not totally tracking with you, Pastor Jim. Think with me for just one moment. I'm not quite going to sever that relationship that needs to be severed. Because, well, maybe it might not going to work out like I think, so I might want to go back to that. That's making a provision for the flesh or a provision for something just in case this doesn't quite take like I think it's supposed to. Just in case it doesn't quite work out like I think. I remember a guy that had struggles similar to things that I'm very familiar with a substance and alcohol and so on. I don't struggle with that today. I want to tell you that. That's not an issue today. But in my past, many years ago, I understand that propensity and the struggle with that is associated with this. And I had a friend that was just constantly struggling with this, and he just, you know, just basically slip back into the world and just go on these long binges and then, you know, repent and come back and try and get right with the Lord and all this, and did get right with the Lord and would move along for a while, and then sometimes things would go bad, and he said, I don't know why this guy, how come this doesn't happen to you? And I said, the only difference between you and me is you leave that as an option. You got to pick up your bed You got to walk. I can't go back. It's not an option. It's the one link on your computer. Maybe it was an old boyfriend, an old flame. Maybe it's a pornography site. It's an old link to something you just didn't quite, pick up your bed, make no provision, give no opportunity, get completely sever it, rise, take up, be made whole, and move on. It's not an option. That's what Jesus is saying. The other thing that's kind of interesting is this gentleman had an excuse. He didn't answer yes or no. He just had an excuse, didn't he? As we went down in verse 7, the sick man answered. He said, "Do you want to be made well?" He says, "Sir, I have no man. I'm looking to people to help me. I'm looking to those who could maybe do for me what I can't do for myself." And he's looking to humanity to help him. Look in our world today, those who are looking for all kinds of answers from friends, from counseling session after counseling session. And really, this interaction that Jesus has with this man, this is just basically an excuse that many would use. Well, I'm struggling with this, and I really don't have anyone. I've not found the right thing, the right deal, the right stuff that's going to work for me in this situation. And Jesus is saying, well, you're not looking in the right place. Jesus is basically saying, hey, just rise, take up your bed, and walk. It's done. Because, see, we need to trust God at His Word. The Bible says, when we give our lives to the Lord, behold, all things are new. It's a new creation in Jesus Christ. Now, He either means it's a new creation in Him or it's not. He said it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when we give our lives to the Lord, we have the newness of life is yours and mine. Now, for those of you who've walked with the Lord a little while, I encourage you, embrace that. Walk in the newness of life each and every day. Appropriate that truth into your life. Yesterday's done. Tomorrow you don't have. You've got this ever-floating boundary between the past and the future, and it's called the N-O-W, now. That's what you got. And you need to walk in the now in the newness of life, trusting the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the Word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you, and maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with Him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make Himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with Him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to Him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.